cliffcentral.com.
Rise and shine, Monday morning. It's the 14th of September. We're halfway through September. Well, just about. Give or take a day. You know what I mean, right? What's happening? Sia's here, Leanne is here, I'm here, you're here. That's all that matters.
Hola.
Hola. Running things in the studio is Imabula Lila Yeyeyo.
There's a yeah now there.
Well, there's a listen. You see how people spell the name whenever Mbulelo's on the show. They send mail, either whether it's love or hatred. The way they spell that name, it's just incredible.
I mean, you just have to think it in your head. Yeah. Mbulelo, and yes, you can spell it.
Right, exactly, and people do. They get very creative, very creative, and not always in a positive way, I'd say. If I were him, I'd be very annoyed. So many things to do today. I like starting the week in a busy way. And we record the TV show on a Monday, which is always nice. It means I can actually enjoy the rest of my week because, you know, there's always pressures. Like guests, you hope that they'll be there and you hope you don't have technical issues and all of that stuff. I've got things to do, man. I've got about 4 other things apart from that I have to get done today. I know that doesn't sound
7
like a lot.
So far,
on my list. You got 7?
7, yeah.
I got a couple of meetings. I'm going to collect something at some like place where I've never been before. And it's just little things, you know, because we've been trapped in our houses. It's a deal, you know?
You make it sound like you're going to collect some heroin.
No, I wish.
I'm going to collect something I've never been before.
No. It's someone sent a package to one of the post nets, but I don't know which one it is. So I have to go and I've like made a short list. Can only be in 2 possible places. So I have to go and get it. One of them.
Why didn't they deliver to your house?
I'm not sure how it works. They just said the nearest post net, and I suppose that must be the one. But now I have to go and see if that is the one. So it's all very exciting.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. Anyway, how was the weekend? What did you get up to?
Had a good lamb roast last night.
Oh, that sounds good.
With the family.
Jesus, well done. That's nice.
Roast potatoes, gravy. 2-hour roasted lamb, roasted ram.
Roasted ram.
I love roasted ram.
Yeah, roasted ram is the best.
I realized, oh, God.
What?
This is a heavy rotation.
What's a heavy rotation? What did you realize? Come on, out with it.
I realized that my old cat is probably facing her demise this week.
You're going to have it done?
Yeah.
Why, is she falling all over the place?
No, that's me. But she's, She's just really skinny, and she's 15 years old, 15 and a half.
Yeah.
And she's battled with a tummy issue all her life. And I realized that probably 95% of her day is cuck, and 5% is okay. So, yeah, I think it's time. So many tears were shed. And I started writing a poem about her last night, which I will share upon her demise.
Oh, so you've that's very sweet that you've written a poem about her.
Yeah, it's actually quite long because, I mean, she's 15 years old, so there's a lot of stuff that we've shared.
Why are you making this so? This is really hard.
I know. But, you know, these things happen. If you actually list the amount of pets that you've had in your life that have now gone, there's so many, and it's just the way it is. So has to be done.
I feel like that about ex-girlfriends. Draw up a list. Okay. It's like, Jesus, how many? That's a lot. Did I really need to? Did I really need to have all of these? And what good did it do me? None.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now,
yes.
If I look at my sex list.
Your sex list. Do you have a sex list?
I've deleted it all from
I should hope that's not a thing to keep. Yeah, I mean, people will when you're dead they'll be publishing it.
I realize that.
Not even if you're dead, they'll publish it if you're alive, and they just want to embarrass you.
But if I looked at it, I was on some kind of mission, man.
Really? Did
no,
you have?
I don't know what was happening there.
What was your what was your peak age for maximum sex?
In my 30s, so oh, really? Early 30s, oh. Yeah.
Oh, let's be clear though that that doesn't have to be the case for everybody. You might do better in your 20s or in your 40s than you did in your 30s. It's just
yeah.
You did have a couple of long-term relationships and you had lots yeah. of other stuff going on in your 40s, so.
No. Yes.
Well, well, if anyone was wondering with me, 25 is not my peak age.
I was kind of hoping.
No,
that,
visitors, yeah.
I was sort of hoping for your sake that that would not be the peak, that you still had the best years ahead of you, you know? Anyway. So, you know how much I love maps and things, right? I've just been obsessed over this weekend. I was just looking at maps of all kinds of places in South Africa and kind of just checking out. You know, there are a lot of places in this country which are these unknown, these hidden gems. I mean, they're just my sister and her boyfriend and a whole lot of my other friends. I didn't go. I wanted to sleep late yesterday because I really mm-hmm. think sleeping late is the greatest indulgence ever in human history, right? Sleeping late, yes. You just never underestimate how beautiful sleeping late is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they took the dogs for a walk and they all went walking and they went to some place out near, I'd say it was near the Hartbeespoort Dam, but I can't actually be sure.
Ah, Hartbeespoort.
Ah, yeah, that's the one. And there are these undiscovered little places where they went on this walking trail, for example, and you know, there really are some magnificent, beautifully hidden, very special little places that people from any other part of the world would go, wow, you guys are so lucky you've got that. And we don't even know, or we take it for granted. We're like, yeah, well, some beautiful yeah. places, you know, little parks, and it doesn't have to be far out of town. But when people think of Joburg or Pretoria, they don't really think about beautiful kind of natural open areas because we think of cities. And it's funny, we don't think of that with Cape Town. We think of Cape Town as being this...
I mean, the beauty is all around you in Cape Town all the time.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm not so, you know, unless you are from there and you know one or two of those secret hidden places which are really special, it kind of most people know that the obvious ones in Cape Town. The point with Joburg and Pretoria is if you just search a little bit, and maybe this lockdown has made people look around a bit more and take in their immediate surroundings, be a little more appreciative of exactly what they've got going on right on their doorstep. Because there are, I mean, a lot of these little wedding venues have started becoming hiking trails, and they've opened up like picnics and that kind of thing, which has really made them that much more interesting, and they're utilizing the beautiful spaces they have around them. So it's just nice to see that people are, you know, understanding and celebrating and enjoying those spaces closest to them. It's really cute. And you know how obsessed I am with looking at all of this on maps. It's just my favorite thing to do. When Google Earth came out, that was all I did for like 4 months of my life. I didn't talk to anyone.
I know. You used to do it during
the show. I would ignore you guys and I'd just do this because I was obsessed.
You were finding hidden military bunkers and...
You know, I don't know where it comes from, but maybe I'm a frustrated pilot. I mean, my grandfather was a pilot, my uncle was a pilot, my sister's boyfriend's a pilot, so I'm surrounded by them, and I love seeing things from the air. It gives you the bird's eye perspective.
I have the same obsession.
Yeah.
You know, with topography and all of that, but I don't really want to be a pilot. But I did see something that... made me a little nervous, and that's an article on how to blur your house on Google Street View.
Ah, this is really interesting, and this is important too. You have to do it.
It's so, I didn't know that. Did you?
Well, no. I've looked up a couple of places on Google Street View, which is cool, but you know, they drive those cars around and they basically just film what it looks like. Well, they didn't film it in moving pictures, but they've got still shots which they then stitch together, and you can actually see what other people's houses would look like from the road. And I don't know that that's what I mean. I don't want people to know what my entrance looks like.
you know?
Mm-hmm. But
well,
yeah.
Well, tell me about this Google Street View and how you block it, though.
So, like, for instance, an entire suburb at one stage in Minnesota decided that it didn't want pictures up on its Google service. And it actually threatened to cite Google for trespassing.
Yeah.
And so Google pulled all the images down.
Yeah, well, they've got to. You've got to threaten them, those sons of bitches. They'll share every bit of information about you. They already put everything else online about you. You Google yourself and you'll see what comes up.
And then a lobbying organization called Privacy International filed a formal complaint to the UK's Information Commissioner's Office, alleging that Google failed to properly de-identify the people that it had captured, so to blur the actual people. Because there are a lot of people, there are actually some funny shots that end up being taken, people falling down and...
Well, if you're watering your garden or your car's parked outside, then people can see what your registration number is on your car, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Among them was a woman who had moved house to escape a violent partner, but who was recognizable outside her home on Street View. With colleagues pictured in an apparently compromising position.
They were cheating.
You see.
He suffered embarrassment when the image was circulated at their workplace. That's like just the obvious stuff.
Do you ever use Google Street View to find
all the time.
Yeah, a shop that you're going to or something else.
Yeah, so that if I'll still use maps while I'm driving, but at least I know what the building looks like.
Right.
Or if I'm looking at houses to move or to rent or whatever, then I'll look at what it looks like from the outside. I seriously don't have a problem with it, but you guys know that I don't really worry about that sort of thing. So to blur it, if you want to, you have to go to Google Maps and then enter your home address.
Yep.
Enter Street View mode.
Right.
And then you drag that little small yellow human-shaped icon onto the map in front of your house.
Gotcha.
With your house in view, you click report a problem in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen.
Gotcha.
You then center the red box on your home and select My Home in the Request Blurring field.
Wow. Go through that again in case people missed it, because this is something I think a lot of people are suddenly going to do.
Once you've hit report a problem, a box will come up and it'll frame whatever you're looking at on the screen. Once that box comes up, you can select... You go into the Request Blurring field.
Okay.
And you select My Home.
Okay.
Then you write in that provided field why you want the image blurred. For example, you may be concerned about safety issues.
All right.
Then you enter in your email address and click Submit.
Huh. Well, there we go. See? Hang on, Leanne. We lost you for a second there. Say that again.
Once you've blurred it, can you hear me?
Yeah, got you.
Uh-huh.
Then it'll be gone forever. It'll be permanent.
Great. I think that's good. You're no business. Like, look. I mean, we all love snooping around, but you don't really get to do that unless someone's invited you into their house. And many people are not happy to just let everyone in the world into their house. So I get that.
And you never know. Just protecting yourself should be it.
I don't really get it in this country, because all you're going to see is a high wall and a security gate.
Yeah, but in America, it's all open. Look.
In America, you'll see your kids playing on the lawn, your dog taking a shit.
So no one wants that. That's embarrassing.
But I mean, for me, it was so fun going back to my old neighborhood where I grew up.
Yeah.
Looking at my old house and the streets that I used to cycle on. And
you were just having fun, and then someone blurred the house and you suddenly couldn't see anything. Yeah.
I think it should stay around. I'm not going to blur my house.
Yeah, I get. I think you'd sing a different tune if you were the one who felt like you were being compromised somehow.
Yeah, for sure.
Or if you're trying to get away from some creep.
But I mean, the lengths you must go to find that. Well, how would you even go about stalking someone on?
People do. And this is the weird thing, right? Is you then have to find out how to make yourself private again. It's not like you're private and then Google asks you, can we put your information online? No. The default setting is you'll let us just publish whatever information about you and show where your house is and show what car you drive and blah, blah, blah. We'll put all of that on the internet. And then you, if you don't like that, must complain. So in other words, the setting is you don't have privacy.
Mm-hmm.
You then have to go in and reclaim that. And I know that there are people who are paranoid and you know, that's probably no one's looking for you.
Yeah.
Probably no one really cares about you.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, by the way, once you've done this on Google Maps, you then have to go and do it on Bing Maps as well.
No.
And I haven't even heard of Bing Maps.
Oh, no. Bing Maps. What the fuck is Bing Maps?
I don't know, but it doesn't sound right. Bing.
Yeah, that's the search engine, right?
Yes.
They got their own map thing as well?
Yeah,
the thing. Oh, my God.
Who has ever used... Okay, never mind.
Sia, you're pretty good at stalking people.
Sia's very good. He uses it as research for the show, too. We find out things about our guests.
Yeah, that's just a way to go, but I've never gone as far as mapping thing. Oh.
Yeah, you see?
No. No, I have once... No, I was just on... I was reading about this home in Architectural Digest, and it just looked good from the photos. So I went onto maps just to see the street view of how it looked, but I'm not there, like, you know, sussing out how I'll break in.
Have you ever looked up someone's house that, I mean, this is what's so weird about the world that we live in now, is you not just looking up people's history or people's tweets or people's pictures on Instagram. Now you look up their house, look up their car. I mean, have you ever looked up someone who you were dating's Google?
No, I've never used Google Maps surreptitiously. I've always used it in an innocent research way for finding my way around or whatever.
For me, it's pure curiosity about the world around us. I'm not actually that interested in people's houses, especially if they're people I don't know. But it is kind of amazing what you can find these days, because to just want information about something before, you would have to go to a lot of trouble. Now you just sit at home with your laptop or your phone. You can find all this stuff. Anyway, let's just go over some things that are happening, because this is quite interesting. I know a lot of people have been really worried about, because we haven't heard an update for years about Michael Schumacher. You know, is he even still alive? Remember, he was in a vegetative state, and his family were going to switch off his machines. And this is all after that skiing accident that he had years ago. And we're talking for over a decade. Anyway, apparently there's an update.
Well, it was quite a frustrating update to hear, because it's not much to let us know.
I mean, is the guy
how even, Michael actually is doing?
Yeah, can he talk? Everybody's asking, is there any purpose to this life? Because, you know, he was obviously a very rich guy. He was Formula One's most famous driver at the time that he had his accident. And everybody was hugely upset by what happened to him, even people who are not Formula One fans. And we were all trying to figure out, is this guy even having a quality of life?
Leanne is talking. Sorry, and she's been muted. I don't know.
I'm a huge fan of his, and I actually still feel sick about the whole thing.
Yeah. So can you believe it's almost 7 years now?
Oh, I mean, said it was more. Okay.
There's nothing to say. I mean, I know people from my own life who've had terrible head injuries and have stayed vegetative for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
And I don't know why people are even holding out hope. He's gone. He's not going to ever talk again or say anything of sense.
I don't think it's a win for anyone. Well, look,
you mean he's not going to publish some great novel now?
I would say like no. 2 years, three at a push, to wait and see if anything will happen. Seven, that's quite a lot. So anyway, the G Todd, he's the former Ferrari boss. Jean Todd, sorry. He's a former Ferrari boss, and he went to visit the Schumacher family last week.
Yeah.
And all he says is, my God, we know he had a terrible and unfortunate skiing accident, which has caused him a lot of problems, but he has an amazing wife next to him. He has his kids, his nurses, and we can only wish him the best and to wish the family the best too. Okay. All I can do is to be close to them until I'm able to do something, and then I will do it. So nothing mentioned about his state around whether Michael can speak or can blink or is responsive on like any ground. But
if Michael was doing those sort of things and was recovering in that way, we'd hear about it. Because the family, I'm sure, are dying to be able to say, no, he's talking, the surgeries that he's had has improved. Because they're not saying that means it's
shitty.
Unfortunately, it's shitty.
Yeah, good point.
So he was 44 when this all happened. I mean, just on the basis of his own life and how much he's losing out on and not getting to experience.
Sure.
Man, that's a lot.
No, it's sick. It's horrible.
I was thinking about how tough it is to get try to plan a surprise birthday party for someone in your own circle, and how much you have to deal with in terms of getting everyone to keep quiet about it.
Yeah.
And that's just 6 weeks. Isn't it incredible that we have not heard a peep or a poop from anyone?
Yeah, and there's been no photographs smuggled out by any, nothing. You know, like really disgusting person who worked for them on a contract or something. And,
yeah.
You know, you see a picture of him, kind of a hazy picture in the distance, or there's none of that stuff. They've managed to keep this so private. Good for them.
No scorned nurse has said anything.
No, like, they obviously look after people. And
well, the thing is, to face facts again, I can't speak for his family, but he is such an amazing, good person.
You knew him?
Yes. Yeah, so when we used to meet up every Sunday and have coffee.
For half a second, I thought, where's this going?
That was one of the if you go through her sex files, then you'll see Michael Schumacher. Yeah.
Well, he would have been on those files, that's for sure. If I had the chance.
You were attracted to him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
were you attracted to him or his success? Because it's just like sometimes when I look at rich people and I go, I'm attracted to their money, not their.
No, it was because of his success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But impressive human being. I mean, Jesus, the things he did in Formula One alone. And again, I'm not a fan of Formula One, but anybody, even a cursory observer, would know that this guy was probably one of the greatest of all time. And not just as a driver, but as Leanne says, as a mascot for the sport, because he did things off the track that were, you know, illuminating. He made people's lives. He was very involved in some really good causes. And it's so weird, like he was on a holiday, I think, when he had his accident.
Yeah.
And he was
in
just
the French Alps.
He was just doing some fun recreational stuff like Bulelo and I have done before when we've been skiing. And it's really a fun thing to do. And he went off-piste, I think, which means you go off the beaten track, so to speak.
I've gone off-piste many times.
Oh, you've passed out pissed too. But that's besides the point. And then he hit a rock. He kind of skied and he landed with his head. And he was wearing a helmet. He landed on this rock and he got terribly, terribly concussed and obviously brain damaged. And now we sit here at 7 years. I thought it was a bit longer. I don't know why.
Mm.
All right. Well, we do.
But just wrapping up on this one. His wife still maintains that this is actually his wish. And says that she isn't trying to deliberately hide him away or keep it all a secret from the public, but says that knowing him for 20 plus years, they were married for 20 plus years before that, says that this is what he would have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, to live with someone who's got those kinds of problems for 7 years, keep it quiet, continue to be a caring, loving wife, and don't tell me, it's just because he has money, because there are good people and there are bad people. And if you're good without money, you'll be good with money. And if you're bad without money, you'll be bad with money. There's nothing that changes. This woman is clearly like saintly to be helping him out, and his kids obviously love him to pieces, and you know,
yeah,
it's just really hard.
Yeah, as a wife, you've now technically lost your husband. Yeah. Well, he's still around, but I mean, there's no one to hold hands,
cuddle. Shadow himself, yeah. All right, let's turn our attention to a few headlines. South Africa's economy could shrink more than forecast. That's according to Finance Minister Tito Mboweni, who's being realistic. He says that the economy could shrink by more than the 7% that policymakers and the central bank have forecast, adding public finances are overstretched. You don't say. But at least he's being honest and realistic with us. The economy of Africa's most industrialized nation, that's us, contracted by more than half in the second quarter of this year, an unprecedented decline caused by anti-coronavirus restrictions. Looking ahead, there is a risk that the actual GDP outcome for 2020 could be lower than previously thought. The Treasury and Central Bank expect the South African economy to contract by 7.2 and 7.3% respectively this year, after we went into a strict lockdown in March, already in recession. Now, at least they're being honest here. It's not because of coronavirus, it's because of lockdowns. I think people need to be very much aware and sensible about the fact that this is not some situation. The disease does not call. We've had diseases in the past, they've affected the whole world, and economies respond not necessarily to the diseases, but the results of those diseases. And there are still people who say, oh, well, government did the right thing by locking down, and you know how I feel, because we've discussed this ad infinitum over the last 6 months. I don't agree. I think that the lockdowns were a mistake. I think they're unnecessary. I don't think they saved any lives at all. And I know there are doctors who will disagree with me. There are people who are observing these statistics on a daily basis who are trying to make sense of them still. But the reality is, you don't have to be a medical expert to be able to understand the statistical results, which we're all observing all over the world right now, and that show that lockdowns have, by and large, created much more devastation in their wake than the disease alone would have caused. And I'm talking about the resulting unemployment. I'm talking about the resulting mental health issues which people will have. I'm talking about what this is going to do to children and their education in the long term. There are so many things that have come into play as a result of the lockdown, and not necessarily the disease, that will affect us negatively for a very long time. And I think this is what Tito's talking about in terms of the economy.
Yeah.
So he says, the reduction in economic activity in the second quarter has flowed through to lower tax revenue. Now, of course, this is where government really get worried, because that's all they care about is the money. The minister wrote, adding that emergency tax relief to keep households and businesses afloat would compound the loss. Remember, they gave away, in inverted commas, a whole lot of money to try and keep people employed and to try and keep people financially fluid, financially
liquid.
Yes,
but they banned alcohol and cigarettes and lost billions.
Mm-hmm, among other things. Obviously, lots of companies are going to be sending in tax returns where they've made a terrible loss because they couldn't trade. And that outside of, you know, tobacco and liquor, but there are loads of businesses that just aren't going to reopen again. Unreliable electricity supply has also been blamed as a source of economic instability. And he says a commitment to unlock private investment in the private sector is one of government's priorities. So again, Tito Mboweni, one of the few people in government who is aware of the real nature of the problem, who is trying his best to manage what is a very, very difficult situation. And good luck to him. There shouldn't be anyone who's against Tito in that situation. If he's being honest, and it appears that he is, then let's help him where we can. And that doesn't mean you have to be a party political hack or a comrade. You just have to know that this guy's got the interests of South Africa at heart. He gets, in real terms, the magnitude of the problem. And I'm sure he's doing his very best. Mpumalanga... Oh, this is amazing. Mpumalanga police are searching for a group of armed men who stole an undisclosed number of firearms from the Buttplaas police station. It's understood the men stormed the facility and allegedly overpowered the officers and made off with the weapons. Now, again, we're expected in South Africa to call on the police when we're in trouble. And then the police come, and they hopefully get there on time, and hopefully nothing's happened to you. And then they arrest the baddies, and they take away the baddies' guns, and they put those guns in the police office. right? They've got a safe in each police station. Put the guns in there, and they're meant to destroy the guns after a while. Well, listen to this. No arrests have yet been made. A group of men entered the Butt Plas police station, threatened the members on duty with their... They had firearms already, the bad people, and I guarantee you they're not licensed, right? They managed to disarm two of the members of their service pistols, forced them to open the safe in the community service center where they took one R5 rifle and some other guns. So those are probably guns that legal firearm owners have had to leave at the police station while they're renewing their licenses. So who's in trouble here? Because now those firearms that were stolen that probably belong to legal firearm owners are now going to be used by the criminals. Then it becomes those legal firearm owners who are trying to do the right thing's problem. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Not good. International travel may resume soon. This is very good news. International travel will be permitted according to Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula, who's grown a moustache, I see, so he looks less like Dionne Warwick. Mbalula says that the National Coronavirus Command Council, remember them? Imagine how boring those meetings have become. Is considering opening borders. Well, good, because actually you have no right to keep people prisoner anymore. Very soon, he says, international travel will be reopened. We will announce measures, and we will tell you as and when that happens. He was inspecting OR Tambo International Airport's COVID-19 adherence after complaints about a lack of compliance. Mbalula has also warned airlines and travelers to adhere to the regulations or to face the consequences. I received a complaint, he said, that some of the airlines are not observing regulations on board and have totally lapsed in relation to the regulations. But you were the one, you idiot, who said that the air conditioning in planes killed the virus, remember? Stupid fool.
Now he's like,
you. Why aren't you wearing your masks? Why aren't you sanitizing your hands? I love the way they do this everywhere. Yeah. It makes no difference. Except that it... One thing I like is you go to the restaurant and the waiter or waitress, while they're talking to you about the specials, isn't spitting. That's a good thing because they got the face mask on.
What restaurants did you go to before?
No, come on, you know when people talk, sometimes they spit.
They're like alpacas, really.
Yeah, so that's the one thing I kind of like. But this idea of sanitizing your hands, the only good that can come of that is that filthy, dirty people who always been filthy and dirty now have to make sure their hands are a little bit cleaner.
Listen, I put in petrol yesterday.
Yeah.
And before the guy brought me the card machine, he sprayed sanitizer onto a tissue and then wiped the machine. And then he sprayed my hands as well.
Yeah.
And when I drove off, I realized that the spray didn't have any smell, nothing.
It's probably and just water.
It's water, I'm telling you. People are trying to save money now, and they're not buying the proper stuff.
So good news that international travel will open up. That's very good news, not just for people who want to get out of South Africa and travel or else have to do so on business, but also so that we can have people coming back here. We need this desperately.
Mm.
And then this is international news of a kind. Zimbabwe is in crisis. That's according to the SACP.
Why is that new?
Well, no, but you see, they've only just figured this out now. I don't know why it's taken them so long. You just have to walk down any street in any city in South Africa and you'll meet 10 Zimbabweans who could tell you this. But we had to, you know, we sent that that plane full of losers. Who was it? Ace Mahashule and Nomvula Mokonyane and then Tony Yengeni was there as well. Lindiwe Zulu. Can you imagine those people landing in your country?
Tony Engen is a surprising one in all of this for me. Like, we haven't heard from him in so many years.
Well, he's the head of the ANC's integrity committee, Sia. So that's because you're not paying attention. But Zimbabwe, according to the SACP, that storehouse of intellectual solidarity, Zimbabwe, according to them, is in crisis. So thanks for that, SACP. You're reading the tea leaves.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, soothsayers, these guys. They have, unlike the ANC, though, they've slammed the ZANU-PF over growing authoritarianism. It's interesting, that's coming from the Communist Party. Solly Mapayile has hit out at the Zimbabwean government and ZANU-PF for its growing authoritarianism, a stance that contradicts that of its alliance partner, the ANC. Commenting on the ZANU-PF government during a virtual media host, virtual media briefing in a post-Central Committee meeting, Mapaile said it was a pipe dream for any revolutionary movement to think they could achieve any objectives without their people.
Like a poop dream.
There's a poop dream. What a disaster. What a disaster. Mapaile's statement is in stark contrast to the ANC's. The ANC, of course, denied that the neighboring country was facing a crisis.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
They still think they can just tell us things and we'll believe them, huh? They reckon it's still 1965. They really do. And then a quick update on the U.S. election. Bloomberg has donated $100 million to Biden in Florida. That's Michael Bloomberg. He says he's going to give, because he's got so much money, right? He said, of the battleground states, Florida offers the biggest share of the Electoral College votes needed to win. Mr. Bloomberg already spent $1 billion this year trying to defeat Mr. Biden to become the Democratic challenger. Donald Trump has hinted he will spend his own money in the state ahead of early voting on the 24th of September. Both campaigns are keen to appeal to voters who may be casting votes early by post and set the tone of the final weeks of their campaigns. Now, what's interesting about Florida is they've got a big Hispanic community. And that Hispanic community is not as easy to read as people would think, because a lot of the Hispanic voters in Florida are actually Cuban refugees. They're people who fled Cuba.
Yeah, my abuela once lived there.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And those refugees, those people who left Cuba, are not likely to vote for a Democrat, which is interesting. And then there are all the old people. And Florida is full of old people. People go to Florida to retire. Mm. So you've got people from all over the United States who are in advanced age, and they move to Florida because of the climate, right?
It's like South Africa's Durban.
Correct. So you've got these very interesting population groups. There are, of course, also many other kinds of people in Florida, but those are two large voting blocks that people go for. So we'll have to see what happens. Florida offers 29 Electoral College votes needed for the election. Only California and Texas offer more, but they're seen as safe Democrat and Republican territory, respectively. President Trump won Florida in 2016, while Democrat Barack Obama took the state in 2012. So Mike Bloomberg throwing his money behind Joe Biden. We'll see what happens there.
You know that $100 million US dollars is nothing to him.
Oh, he's got something like $50 billion, Mike Bloomberg. I saw this really interesting ticker. You know how they kind of fast forward through the years and they show you who the richest Americans are, and mm-hmm. you see where people move up and down this list as they go mm-hmm. through it. And it's quite interesting to see some of those names. Obviously now in the whole world, there's just no one who's going to catch up to Jeff Bezos for a while, not unless one of them discovers the most amazing invention ever, because Jeff Bezos is like double anyone else right now. They say he's worth $200 or $300 billion.
Yeah, I think he broke the 200 million mark. Yeah. 200 billion.
It's 200 yeah. billion, but it's just. I mean, try and write that in zeros. You normally on a calculator couldn't fit that number in. That's how much money he has.
Your chair sounds like.
Oh, is my chair making a noise?
It sounds like that guy who was on SABC and his chair broke.
Oh, Minister Nene.
The Creole, that's right. The cracking just before it happened.
Sorry, I was trying to get comfortable on my chair. We had such an interesting conversation about pooing on Friday. Lots of people saying that they loved
it. It was so funny.
Yes.
You know, I haven't laughed like that in a while. But also, I laughed quite a bit when she mentioned that the fact that digestion starts in the mouth with saliva, and then it goes to the oesophagus.
Nah, I win, nah.
I had a giggle there. But Sia and I, we could, I mean, I had to turn off my camera eventually.
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on the fact that she said your bowel movement should be as long as
from your wrists to your elbows.
Woo!
Yeah, but she said it can break off. So that's still long. Total.
Mm-hmm. Morning team. So listen to this. This is interesting. Couple of messages this morning. Adriano saying on Google and information, if you have Google Photos activated on your phone, where it stores all your photos on the cloud. If you open the Google Photos app on your phone and you type in brassiere into your search bar, it will automatically bring up all the photos of semi-nude ladies or ladies with cleavages. I typed it, and it showed images of WhatsApp messages received, photos of my ex in a bikini on a beach, scary stuff. I'm not sure if it's creepy little Bangladeshi men in those Google sweatshops identifying them, or if it's us teaching AI through things like Capture, where it tells you to click on the photos of buses, but the end is nigh. So apparently, according to Adriano here, if you type in bra, then it'll come up with all the pictures of women's cleavages in your Google Cloud. How's that?
Oh.
Hey, guys, speaking of privacy, this is from Dudley. He says, you should watch The Great Hack and The Social Dilemma on Netflix. I've deleted Facebook, Instagram, etc. off my phone, and I'll slowly start getting off permanently. We are the products of our personal data. It's being sold to advertisers. Really glad I watched those shows. Sure.
I've got it on my, I saved them to my list to watch.
Carl doesn't care. He says, who cares if people know what the entrance to your house looks like? You know people can just walk right past and see it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, and that too.
Not quite sure what the issue is.
No, but in South Africa, as Leanne pointed out, a lot of people have these high walls, so you can't actually see what's behind them. Okay, then, morning team, this one comes from Yonder. Yonder says, the talking about the poo on Friday was great, but late afternoon I had my own shitty story where I'd taken antibiotics and then I had to run to the bush to poo as it was acting up. Wow, Yonder, that's terrible.
To the bush?
Oh my word. Well, at least you were in your natural squatting position.
That was, we discovered that. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Oh, shame.
Tell you what.
That's not good.
Gadget Mike says there's a Boerewors flavored condom available.
Oh my word.
He's joking, but he does say it was a Jack Parrow tweet or something. Durex Boerewors for those special moments where you can't decide if you should nigh first or bry first. Imagine Boerewors tasting condoms. Ugh, Jesus.
It's just funny because of the shape of Boerewors.
And because we were talking about Boerewors last week as well, remember? That's the consistency that you got to go for, apparently.
Then now everything must smell like Boerewors as well.
Please. It's like in America, they're obsessed with donuts and what was the other thing? Cheese. Everything's got to be cheese flavored.
Oh, and it's so annoying.
Cheese and fried.
I'll search for a recipe, and 9 times out of 10, it'll be an American one that comes up.
Yeah.
And they put freaking cheese in everything, and to everything. Them, cheese is just American cheese. It's horrible cheddar.
Yummy.
2 minute noodles. They put cheese in that.
Well, speaking of Facebook and Google and Instagram and all of this stuff, I'm very picky about, you know, how much I get to share on things like Instagram and Facebook. And Sia pointed out to me a little while ago that it used to be that we would put all of our pictures on Facebook. Remember, you'd have whole galleries. You just upload everything.
So true.
You'd have
don't you miss those days?
No, not at all, because people don't do that anymore. People don't put up a whole album of pictures. First of all, because they know that their employers and people who they don't know will be looking at those pictures. And you don't need to show off what you've been doing every day. And I've always been a little bit careful about that, not because I'm trying to hide anything, but because I don't think it's anyone's business, frankly. But it's funny how that has changed. I know that there were people who used to put up pictures of their kids the whole time, and obviously there are dangers associated with that. So they've stopped doing that largely. But now people are much more judicious about what the picture is that they put up of, you know, what they got up to over the weekend, for example, that kind of thing.
But I think about my routine after a night out, and this is even just while I was still in high school. You'd go to a braai, you'd take photos with my digital camera, and the next morning I'd plug my camera into my computer or laptop and literally just upload the whole SD card, because of course we needed to have 128 photos of you.
Right.
And you of think, one random night out.
And you think everybody's that interested.
Weird now.
And you always think, so, everyone's really going to care about this. Meanwhile, they don't.
And it's like, well, here's my plate of butterfors. Here's my plate with butterfors and coleslaw. And here's my plate of the rolls just on its own. And now you're lucky if you even post a story about a night out. Isn't it weird how far we've gone?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing. That's a good move.
Yeah. It's nobody's business, really.
You know, you'd come back from a holiday and there was a whole album devoted to your holiday.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll still share some of those. And I put some stuff out there because I think it's interesting. And I really, as I said, I don't have anything to hide. But you just got to be picky about what it is. And it's not because you're vain and you only want to put the pictures on where you look really great or where everybody else looks really great. It's more about just kind of opening the door, but not allowing floods of people you don't know into your life.
Do we know, and I'm thinking of Emma Sadler here, if you can actually hire someone to go through your social media history and delete stuff for you?
I know that they do this when people run for political office. They kind of hire a group of, I don't know whether it's highly paid sleuths or whether it's just students who have nothing else to do. And they'll go through like all your tweets and just delete huge heaps of them in a row. And they'll go through pictures and delete those. And I mean, I think it's probably a job that should be a high ticket item, a big ticket item one day.
Yeah,
that's something a lot of people would pay for, because removing stuff from the internet is, I think, a little more complicated than putting new things up. And maybe that's something people want to do. Like you said at the beginning of the show, blurring your house on Google Street View might be a start for some people. For others, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've never gone back and deleted anything. The only time I delete stuff is when there's a spelling mistake or, you know, I have to change something because the information has changed. But I don't know. Like, I really don't. I feel sorry for people who are 15 and they post something which is, you know, like what a 15-year-old would say, and then they get held to account for it later in life. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah, people have lost important things like pageant crowns.
Yeah.
Because they're
important.
Right. Yeah, no, so you see, that's just not right. I mean,
but if you're using society as your marker, though, of what is good and what is bad, what is good today might be bad in 3 years' time. So who knows? You'll constantly just be deleting stuff. Just own it, man.
Exactly. Own it and, you know, don't run for political office, basically.
Well, no one should then, given our histories.
Stay out of politics and you won't need to delete anything.
Yeah.
Because if you want everybody to think you're wonderful and lovely and you're trying to cultivate this idea that you're perfect, good luck to you. And people like that we should all be suspicious of in the first place.
Don't be suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. Hey, later on we'll be talking to, remember we tried to get hold of Nicholas Avramis the other day. He's the Canadian immigration consultant, and a lot of people were very upset when we couldn't speak to him. Well, we've sorted out the communication problems, and we'll talk to him today.
Shame, he was so remorseful.
Yeah, I felt bad too because he couldn't hear us and we couldn't hear him. And you know, sometimes these things just don't work as well as you expect them to. Nothing's foolproof. All right, well, hopefully you're getting out a little bit more in terms of actually going into the sun and spending some time outdoors. I think it's safe to say that things are now starting to really feel like spring and summer. And, you know, we're starting to enjoy the fact that we live in a beautiful country where most of us spend a lot of our time out of doors.
I'm starting to forget to wear my mask, and to me that's kind of a good sign of how you're feeling about things.
Yeah, and I don't know that we need to have them on the whole time, especially if we're going to be in places where there aren't a lot of other people.
But you know what? It's the same as the hand sanitizer argument. Before COVID existed, I would be very happy if people were using it all the time, people around me. And I'd be very happy if somebody who had a cold was wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I went to get some treatments done for my skin and my face for the first time in
6 months. Wow,
6 months.
Yeah.
Half a year.
You went for the treatments here?
Oh, it felt glorious.
Really?
I really just wanted to hug my therapist and everyone there. I'm like, guys!
Shame, Sia. We know how you must miss
reunited
out.
Reunited and it feels so good.
And the moisturizing. No, but the moisturizing, Sia, is much less difficult for you in summer because in winter you're a lot drier, right? We all are.
But everything needs to tweak this time of the year when it gets a little warmer. But side note, I realize I fell into this trap. And if I am so careful of myself, then I think people who don't really care must be sort of worse. Do you know that like now having masks on most of the time, you tend to like forget how you look? So this is like some weirdness, but I realize my nasal hairs had grown out a bit.
Oh,
that's because of how much like you don't really pay attention. You're all covered up or you're at home, and I thought I've let myself go.
So you had great bushy nasal hairs pulling out of his nose.
Yeah,
pushing
I
out of
good,
his nose.
I had a good massive lady shave the other night. The beard.
Lady
oh my
shame.
God, Leanne, really?
I promise you, it starts happening. But you know what, women, because we don't shave, we get these fine little hairs all over our face.
Oh my God,
so
sexy.
And you use your little facial trimmer. And you remove the fuzz.
The peach fuzz.
You have a facial trimmer.
Yes.
A facial hair.
You get ladies' facial trimmers.
Oh, lovely. How nice.
Did you buy it in secret?
No, I'm.
Am I shaving you? Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, there are lots of women who talk about this stuff very quietly, but they don't share it. Like, this is why we love our Leanne. Is there so many women who are listening to this right now going, oh my God, I'm so glad she brought that up. No, I'm not the only one.
Me too. Hashtag me too.
Yes, that's a different kind
when
of
you,
me too.
When you're in your 40s, you'll need one of those. Or to go for microblading. That's also a good idea to remove all the peach fuzz and top layer of your skin. Dermablading, sorry.
Oh, wow, okay. Hi, guys. Respect to all the ladies walking around with faces full of makeup under their masks. Just back from gym, and again, the ladies are out here exercising with mascara, blush, the works. I don't get it, but well done to all of them. That's a compliment to all the ladies who are, that's from Anushka, all the ladies who are still going to trouble to make sure that they look good under their masks. Not like Sia, who didn't care about his nose hairs. Terrible. All right. We've got more on the way, including Nicholas is going to join us on that discussion around Canada. We'll take your messages and your calls and your thoughts on 079-748-2090. Let us know what you're up to this Monday morning. It's the 14th of September. CliffCentral.com.